Thank you, Pastor Dave. I think it's a surprise for some of you, the way I'm dressed. Enjoy it, because next Sunday is back to usual, normal. So humor me for a moment, but if I could ask you all to just stand up and actually turn around and look at the back. Yeah. So look down and just have a look at that seat in front of you and think of that person who's going to be sitting in that chair today. As that person has come from all sorts of places in terms of that chair in front of you, what will the person do with what they hear today? Will they go home with business as usual? Or will you go out different? Will you do something with what you hear today and every Sunday that you come to this church? And so I want to challenge us today that as we spend time hearing God's word, that you would pray for the person who's going to sit down in that chair right in front of you, and that God would open that person's ears to hear his message and for the opportunity that lies before us. Thank you very much. You can take your seat. As you pray for that person sitting in that seat. So today's message is about starting with the end in mind. Is where do I want to go? What is the end goal? You may be familiar with Jesus as he was speaking. He said in Luke 14, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost? To see if you have enough money to complete it. For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. And so as we think of that today, as we think of our lives each day are about an end goal. Some of us are young and we have many years ahead of us, and some of you it could be soon. But each one of us have an opportunity today to impact what that ending will be like. And that's what I want to talk to us about today. I want to challenge us as we think today about how are we going to live our lives that one day we get to heaven. And the scripture we'll look at, the key verse there is Jesus replying. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And so that's the thought today, is how can we live so that we hear that commendation from Jesus? That Jesus is the one saying that to us. And so let's look at the broader scripture in that. And so I want to encourage you, open your Bible, open up your cell phone if you've got your Bible on your phone. But let's read the scripture together, because time in the word is more important than even my words here. What God speaks to you out of the word is the key point. And so we're going to look at Matthew 25. Now, if you don't have a Bible or you don't have it on your phone, it'll be up on the screen. Jordan will put it on the screen for us. But let me read it for us. So it's Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14. Jesus is speaking, and we'll look at it in a moment, but he starts off with the word again, which tells us that it's part of a whole discussion. But the first word he says there, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, or talents, as some translations put it, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with him. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, You entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 bags of gold came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. And he gets the exact same response, word for word. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew you that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take that bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant out into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that last phrase is an unfortunate analogy for eternal separation from God. And so here we see a parable of people doing and not doing. What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to be like the servant with 5 bags of gold or 2 bags of gold? Or are you going to be the one who goes and buries and hides your gifts? But before we get into that, let's look at a little bit of context. Whenever we study Scripture, we need to look at where is it that we find that piece of Scripture. And this piece, as I said to you, Jesus started with the word again. And so it is in the context of other stories. And so it actually begins in the previous chapter. Beginning in chapter 24, all the way through the end of chapter 25 is one whole discussion that Jesus is having with his disciples. And so it starts in chapter 24 where the disciples say, look at this beautiful temple, Jesus. And Jesus turns around and says, it will all be destroyed. Not one stone will be left on top of the other. And I've been to that beautiful city of Jerusalem. And in 70 AD, the Romans flattened that whole city. And the temple, as you may have seen, is up on a high platform. They leveled that platform. They took every single thing off. They threw the rocks off. Huge rocks that had been foundation stones, building blocks. They cast them off that foundation. And it was destroyed, completely destroyed. And anything that you've seen on top of that today, like the Dome of the Rock or the Al-Aqsa Mosque, those have been built again. But there was nothing. It was flat, completely destroyed. And so Jesus says in verse 14 of 24, he says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And so Jesus has given us a warning when the end will be. And we have an opportunity to invest in that end, to make it happen. And so let us do what we need to do. But when will it be? When is this destruction going to, when is this day of the Lord's return going to be? And the next section is where he says, nobody actually knows. Nobody but the Father. Not even I, the Son, or the angels in heaven. Nobody knows. But he says, be like the wise servant. He says, who then is the faithful and wise servant in verse 45? 24, verse 45. Who is the faithful and wise servant? Who the master has put in charge of the servant in his household to give them their food at the proper time. And so the challenge to us is, each day, are we ready? Like one day that a thief may break into your house, if you knew the time that the thief would come, you would be ready for them. But we do not know the time that Jesus is going to come. And so we need to be ready. We need to prepare ourselves and make sure we're ready for that day. We move into chapter 25, and it starts with a parable of 10 virgins. 5 of them are wise, and 5 of them are foolish. And the wise ones are prepared. They've brought extra oil for the wedding, for their lamps for the wedding. And the foolish didn't even think about preparing or getting ready. And so the challenge to us is be ready. Then we see this parable, the parable of the gold or the talents. And there we see the good servants and we see the lazy servant. And then he finishes off with a parable or the description of the sheep and the goats. The sheep on his right-hand side, he says, "Well done, come and enter my rest." And he says to the goats on his left, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And he banishes them to hell. Now, we don't want to be in that category. We don't want our friends to be there. We actually hope that nobody is in that category. And so the challenge is, how do we make life different? And so getting to today's story about the talents or the bags of gold. Now, the word used as translated talent or bag of gold was the word which we do today get the word talent from. But it was the word for the largest amount of money in description. It was about 20 years work, paid for 20 years of work. Or so the equivalent of maybe $10 million. And so to one he gave $50 million, to another $20 million, to another $10 million. But the point is not the actual amount. The point is that it was without limit. It was inexhaustible. And so he was giving to them a supply that they could not use up, even in any lifetime. So the guy who got $50 million, he came back with another $100 million, 100 years of work wages. That's a lot of money. It's a huge amount of money. And so, like those servants, each day we wake up with a whole day before us. Opportunities to live out that day and to do and work for God's purposes and for His kingdom. Every single day, an artist wakes up and he can paint a fresh new painting. Every day, the inspiration, the rest that he's received, there's great opportunities. Now I realize that a painting doesn't take a day to happen, but there's the energy and the capacity we each have. Every single day, we go to work and we can do and make a difference each day in that workplace. And so the question is, what will we do with that talent that God has given us? How will we use it? Will we use it like the wise servants or the wise virgins or the foolish virgins? Or like the good servants or the lazy servant? Just grab a sip here. Will we be like the sheep or the goats? And so the challenge is there for us today. As we serve God, as we stand up and serve Him, how will we be different? How will we do things in a way that honors Him? And so as we think about that, I want to break down that phrase, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Each one of us, I hope, looks forward to that day when we meet Jesus and He says to us, "Well done, good and faithful Tommy." It's just such an amazing opportunity. This morning, so this weekend has been spent digging. while just before Dorian came around, we were about to mow the lawn, and you walked on our lawn in our garden, and it was like you were walking on water. It was like these waves were floating, and so the grass was floating as a result of a leak in our irrigation system. And so I had to get in and figure out. And so yesterday I spent the day finding this piece. reclaimed water pipe, which was leaking. Had to dig about 5-6 yards of trenching to get to this point and see where the join was, and then test it and luckily discovered that it was this one and not the next one, which would have been another 5 or 6 yards of digging. And so it was, as you know, Florida weather, hot. Monica said to me at one point, "It looks like you've been rained on." The perspiration was dripping off like that. And so it was a lot of hard work. And so the question is, as I was doing that, as you can see, there's a piece of the pipe cut out, so there's another piece that's needed. And so I put the piece together. And I'd measured it, I'd calculated, I did all the things that I should do. Now you see it in my hand, so it's not in the... It's not long enough. It didn't fit the gap well. And I didn't do it on purpose for today's sermon. It was unfortunate. It meant we had to go to Home Depot and go and buy new couplings to make it work. And I bought a few so that I had spares if if that happened again. But it meant a significant amount of digging and hard work. And it was encouraging this morning as I was busy, just sort of finished putting the grass back in place. Marie comes out and says, "Well done." Now, she knows the sermon and she knew it was coming, but she wasn't thinking of that. But it was encouraging to me. It was just a moment of... By this morning, I had sort of started thinking of it as an illustration for today, and then Marie just topped it off with those words as she came out. But what does "well done, good and faithful servant" mean? What is well? When you do something with acceptable and appropriate effort, taking the time, taking the energy. Yes, I made the flop with the couplings too short. But I went out and made the next purchase, and I got the job done. So first, we finished it last night, but we turned the water on and gave it the whole night to make sure it wasn't leaking, because didn't want to do the digging again. And so make sure we do the job well, that we don't have to do it again. No need for a second time. Covering it up with the grass was completing the job. Accomplishing it. And so in life, oftentimes just with, we get busy with things and we start a project. And how many of us never finish the project? We never accomplish it. We never get it done. We get 80% there and then move on. And so let's be diligent to finish the task. Let's accomplish what God has given us to do. Jesus says, "Well done, good." What does good mean? In many of our cases, we just think of, it looks nice, it's a well done. But good is, Jesus gives us a definition in Matthew 19, verse 17. He says, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good, and that is the Father. He is morally pure, without... any sin or any fault or blameless." But we can strive to do that. We can actually be good because we can receive Jesus into our lives. When He comes in, He cleanses us, and the Father sees us as if we had never sinned. And so we have the opportunity to be morally and spiritually pure by receiving Him. And faithful. What does faithful mean? Are you dependable? Can people rely on you? And we heard Nikki challenging us this morning with the announcements. To be dependable in welcoming our guests. Let us be faithful. And so, and then lastly, the servant. Every single one of us is under authority. Even if you're the CEO of a company, there's a board, there are others that you're accountable to. And each one of us are ultimately accountable to God. So let us step out. Let us do what He has called us. And in Scripture, it's very clear what He has called us to. He has called us to commit our lives to Him, to live for Him every day. And so let's live each day with that end goal in mind. Let us seek and work hard to hear Jesus say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I believe that's a desire of each of our hearts. That's why we come here every Sunday, to be encouraged, to be shaped, to be moved into the right next position, that we would be in that place when God comes for us. And so let us be faithful in doing that. And so as we as a church, we have the life groups that are coming. We have the motto that's up on the wall there. Jesus said, "I will build the church." But we're becoming the church that God sees. Now that means we realize we're not perfect yet. We're human. We have our elements. But as we journey together, we can be the church that God sees. And it's about us together. And so tomorrow when you wake up, what is tomorrow going to look like for at the end of the day, God to say, "Well done, good and faithful Steve"? What is it going to look like? Say, "Well done, good and faithful Brother Lanre." And let's live each day that way so that we are the church that God sees. It's only when we do that each day. And so as we think of that, as we journey with that, let us trust God. Let's trust Him in mighty ways for that. And so each day, I want to encourage you each day to do that. But also, as I want to share a little bit more of my life. Marie and I have been here in the church for 6 years. You've heard different parts. And each day as we journey with God, we face different challenges. This was just a light and momentary challenge of yesterday. But some of us have days where we look back and think, "How did I survive that day? How did it work out that I'm still here today?" And so some of you have heard parts of our story. Some of you have heard Marie's testimony. And so you know Kenneth and Monica, you know them very well. But none of you know Peter. Peter died at 2 years, 25 days. It was unexpected. Just like each one of us may pass away on an unexpected day. Some of us are blessed with many years. Peter had 2 years, 25 days. And so that tragedy shaped and changed our lives significantly. And it's not a lost fruit. It's not a lost opportunity. It's not something we would wish for anybody else. But just the week before last, I was speaking. A friend reached out to me from South Africa. She has a fellow friend who just lost their teenage child. And so how can I minister to that person 20,000 miles away back in South Africa? I am able because of the journey that God has had us on. And you have a story as well. You have a journey that you have experienced, and that you can minister to others out of that pain, out of that joy. And I want to encourage us tomorrow as you go into your workplace, tomorrow as you interact with people, how can you make a difference in their lives? Because you do not know if that is their last day. You do not know if you will see them the following day. And I was very encouraged when we first started coming to this church. I'm meeting, getting to know everybody and each of your stories. And I met one lady that was here at the time, Ariel. And I asked, "Oh, Ariel, how did you come to be a part of the church?" And her story was Steve brought it. Steve Lee was the one who brought it. And there are a few others that Steve brought. And so how are we making a difference bringing people into the kingdom? And so we have the opportunity next Sunday with the open house to bring people. But we have the opportunity tomorrow to share our story, to tell somebody. And there will be the stories, the testimonies, Harry's testimony next Sunday for people to hear. But they can hear your story tomorrow. And so let me challenge you with that. And that's what I want to ask you. As you prayed for that person who's sitting in the chair that's beneath you, how is your life going to be different this week? How is your life going to be different going forward so that you can hear God say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? And so I want to challenge you today that if you would like, if you need help, to be this for this week to be different, as Pastor and them come up, that we would pray for you, that we would lift you up before the throne of God, so that He will help you this week to experience something different as you engage the people in your workplace.
Stay nearby, because I am a strong believer in the impartation of blessing when somebody lays hands on you and prays for you. Yeah. And I'm going to ask Brother Stephan to remain. And we're going to have several others coming up to pray with you. But here's the challenge, if I can summarize this precious message and the messenger who is a genuine article. You know, there's the message and there's the messenger. This is a man who's living it, who's doing it. God's given you a treasure, talent, bag of gold. What is this treasure? What if somebody were starving in your neighborhood and you had the means to help them by bringing some groceries? What if somebody had no water and you had the means to turn on the spigot and go and bring them about 5 gallons of water? Wouldn't you obviously do that, right? And if you didn't do that, would you consider yourself a very selfish person, self-centered, or fearful? Maybe there won't be enough for me, you know, whatever the reasons we don't share our lives. But the gist of this message is that we learn that God has given us something of a treasure. And it's what the world needs. The world needs what we have. Say that with me, please. The world needs what I have. You may not consider yourself a preacher, a speaker, a teacher, an orator. It doesn't matter. If you can give somebody a glass of water in Jesus' name, you will not lose your reward. Whatever you do in His name, you can smile, you can lift somebody, you can pray for somebody, you can give them an invitation to come next Sunday. You can give them a ride to church. You can invite them to the Kingdom Disciples small groups that we're going to be having. There's so many ways. Would you please stand with me right now? And in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come forward. But I want to be clear. We're asking you to come because you need help in this journey. In other words, by you coming forward, you're saying, "God, I don't have this all together, Lord. I need help to be a better witness. I do believe that I'm supposed to be an ambassador for Christ." How many of you believe that you're supposed to share the light of God? How many of you know you are the salt of the earth? Put your hand up. Are you the salt of the earth? Are you the light of the world? Pastor Angela preached last week about the harvest. And God has given us a basket to go and find the fruit. Some of it is ready, it's almost falling off. The other fruit might have to reach high. There's some fruit that, you know, it's the person in the company or at the job who's the most difficult. It's the teenager who's the most rebellious. Sometimes it's the one God's after. I know, because I was one of those. Come on now. So don't limit your reach to those people who look like nice people and they should be in church. Find somebody who doesn't look like they've ever been in church. Is anybody with me this morning? Find somebody who looks like they need to be in church. Hallelujah. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are the potter and I am the clay. We're going to sing this, and as we sing, I'm going to ask you to come, and Brother Stephan's going to pray a blessing over every one of us, that we might be ambassadors, we might be fishers of men, we might be faithful servants to God. We all need help with that. Amen. We would see the value of a soul, one life, precious to you, Lord. It means so much to you, Lord, that you left the 99 and you went after the one sheep that was lost. Somehow, Father, I don't think we fully understand the value that you place on one life, that you are willing to come from heaven to reach lost people. Help us to think more like you, God. Help me, Lord, as a shepherd, Lord, as a pastor, as a Christian, to love people more, oh God. My heart is so moved by this message today. I want to be more like you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to care more for people, Lord. I want to see them through your eyes. I don't want to just think of people as an annoyance, something that's in my way, or somebody who's irritating, or somebody who should know better. Because you don't write people off. You love the worst and the least of these among us, Lord. And the hardest heart you're able to change. Don't be distracted right now. Don't think about anything else right now. Just think about Jesus. The Bible says we were not redeemed from our wicked way of life with corruptible things. If God could have paid a ransom for us with $1 million, maybe he would have done it that way. But the Bible says we were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Everybody say precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus. Just think of how precious Peter's life was. How precious God's Son, Jesus, his life was. When you recognize people's lives as precious, you're beginning to get an idea of how God feels about people. And until you can understand how God feels about people, you're not going to have the love and the passion that you need to have. So today, Lord, help us to have the heart of God towards people. Please, please, Lord, help me to see people through your eyes. I want Brother Stephan to pray a missionary blessing over this church and over us all.
Lord, as we enter your presence, it's not because we're great people. We're entering the presence of the great God.
Yes, yes, yes.
The God who loved the world, that he sent his only begotten Son. You sent your Son as a missionary to this world to reach us, just to seek and to save that which was lost. And as we have found salvation, as we have found you, Lord Jesus, help us not to be selfish. Help us not to hoard it for ourselves, but to be a channel of your blessing and a channel of your love to those around us, to those we meet and have contact with. May they see in us something different. May they see the transformation that has taken place in our lives, Lord. Help us to demonstrate it in our life and our actions, but also help us to speak it in our words, Lord. And so you call us, each one, every single one of us, to be ambassadors. We are not here just for our own sake, but we have been bought at a price, that we might be ambassadors to this world and to the lost. And so as each one of us goes from this place, Lord, I want to pray that you would empower us that your Spirit would anoint us to go out and speak and live and proclaim your gospel. Lord, no one of us is meant to just sit in a chair. No one of us is meant to just be sitting at a home reading our Bibles. Yes, we need to do those things, but then we need to go out. We need to step out from our current position to the world, being the flavor, the salt of the earth, drawing people to the spice and the flavor of you, that beautiful flavor, Lord. And so as this church is a church that wants to make a difference, is a church that is warm and welcoming, help us to reach out and touch the lives around us, Lord. Empower us, enable us, give us insight and wisdom, give us the boldness, the courage, and the faithfulness to go and do it, Lord. Because we are yours, and we're here for your purposes. And so thank you for each one of these faces, each one of these bodies here, Lord, that they're not just self-centered, but they're Christ-centered laborers making a difference in this harvest for you, Lord. And so send them and empower them and fill them with your Spirit, Lord, to be the witnesses that you have created them to be. In your power and glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.